T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Got a situation ownership-wise where they're polling their fans on both the football and the hockey front about what kind of buildings they want moving forward. And I don't know, maybe the hockey building has just sort of got to wait until they figure out the football thing. But I don't know, people who are spending $5,000 a year to go to these games or more, I think deserve better than that. There just doesn't seem like there's anyone paying attention. And that's why the jersey thing is, I think, a good metaphor for that, because that should never happen. I mean, Mike Robitaille, we've known personally, Mike, and you're much closer to him than I am, but he worked on their broadcast for my whole life, practically. Either doing the games with Rick and Ted Darling, and then later working on Hockey Hotline with Brian Blessing. I mean, he's a cornerstone of the broadcast anyway. And you get his name wrong? Like, admittedly, it's not Smith, but come on. Like, somebody should do better than that. And then the 90s jerseys weren't even right. So you've got corners being cut at every turn.
5 o'clock hour yesterday, Mike Schoeppel and the Bulldog, lots of conversations about the state of the Sabres off the ice. And I listened to all of it, and I enjoyed all of it because it was good. I was going to say, I mentioned during the break that, you know, you weren't here yesterday, and all this stuff about how they misspelled some of their alumni's names on the jerseys, and they got knockoff jerseys for the black and red, and they didn't wear. Yeah. You know, they missed a deadline allegedly about, and like, there's all this stuff. And the only reason I didn't talk about them yesterday and talk about all this as I saw it and thought, like, wow, that's kind of a mess, is because I spend enough time yelling at the Sabres, I feel like I would also take a bye week.
So you're giving them a break? They're off until next week.
I'm giving
week.
Myself a break. Yeah. I'm on a bye week right now from being mad at how things operate down there, because I love them so much, like we all do, and they drive us nuts. That's how it works.
Well, it's too bad, because you'd think, like, how does stuff like that slip through the cracks? How does it happen? The misspelling of the name, but even the jersey too. Like, if you know it's coming, your 50th anniversary season is coming. Hey, let's put together some theme nights: 70s night, 80s night, 90s night, whatever, captain's night. And a lot of the stuff has gone well. You know, whatever, 70s night, right? When all the members of the Knox family are down on the ice and they're up in the suite, really nice touch. The different player introductions on the theme nights, it's all been done really well. But how do you not be prepared for the right jersey when you're honoring that decade? Like, when you're doing, if we're sitting here talking about, hey, if you had changed your jersey, right, and it's 70s night, okay, wear the jersey you wore in the 70s. Wear this, wear that. If you're planning to honor each decade, how do you not plan to have the jersey they might have worn in that decade ready to go for that decade? And do you wake up one day and go, oh, crap, we forgot to check with the league. What's the deadline for changing jerseys for 90s night?
Yep.
Like, you'd think that's part of the process of putting all this stuff together, let alone spell Mike's name right, spell Andrew Chuck's name right, and don't have Danny Gare, whose name and number hangs in the rafters, not wearing a legitimate jersey. I mean, it's... How does stuff like that slip through the cracks when you've had plenty of time to plan? That's the theme of the season is 50th anniversary season. You would think this stuff would have been worked out.
I know you want to get to Kyle Shanahan.
I
brought up this point on Twitter yesterday, again, not complaining about the Sabres, but we brought it up with Marty, and he said, I guarantee you Jason Botchel and Rob Kruger aren't thinking like that. And my question is, why not? And that's on this. Get Reinhart away from Eichel. Two things could happen. One, he'll be fine. Great. You've now figured out that Reinhart doesn't need to be next to Eichel, which you probably already know, because Sam Reinhart is a really nice hockey player. So get him away from Eichel. Other scenario, he really struggles and doesn't put up points.
Right, then that's the
great value of his, right. Save a little money in his contract.
Right.
You know, you could have done this with Skinner last year. Skinner, contract year, toss him with Eichel. 40 goals. Here's $9 million. Now away from Eichel. Like, if you keep bringing players in that are on contract years, if you plan on re-signing them, they're going to get paid.
Yeah.
Because the man who makes it happen is amazing.
Right.
And if you're passing it to him and sending him up the ice on a rush, which Reinhart does sometimes, right? Reinhart, nice little pass to Eichel. He bombs in over the line and then rips one in the upper corner.
It just happened a couple weeks ago. I don't know which game it was. Well, Reinhardt gives him the pass in his own zone.
And it's a nice
play.
He's gone.
And Reinhardt kids after the game going, yeah, I just have to give the puck to Jack.
Exactly.
It's really
not to
hard.
Say that Reinhardt's value is overinflated, but you know, when you're going to arbitration or you're going to a contract negotiation, if Sam Reinhardt is as the same player and has great value to a team, if in one of those scenarios he has 65 points and the other scenario he has 75 points, like maybe $500,000 a year is the difference. And the only difference is you spent 35 games of a season like right now with getting him away from Jack Eichel. And the same could be said for Victor Olofsson. Hey, here's a guy scoring a ton of goals. We're going to have to pay him. Let's see if, you know, like, it's funny because it sounds a little bit like tanking in a way. All I'm doing as the general manager is I'm going to try and depress the value of my own employee.
Yeah.
And it might not work, but, you know, this season, what should we be doing here? Oh, you could never do that. You're not playing to win. Yes, I am playing to win. The coach says we need balance. The GM says Reinhardt can drive his own line. 33 games to go. Get him away. Let's drive two lines. And if Sam does it, perfect. Now we've seen what the GM thinks can happen, and you can go ahead and give him that contract, and now you go forward and get wingers for the two of them or get a center for – it's just – it doesn't seem to make sense to me for the Sabres when they're 10 points out to try the exact same thing for the whole season. So when Olofsson's back, I expect that line to be together. And, you know, for another thing you'd point out is the GM doesn't make the line charts. Well, the GM is supposed to be figuring out what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And – maybe in hockey it is sacred. You are not allowed to do this. Don't you ever tell the coach who to play. Give me an organization where they're on the same page and they both feel confident enough, like Bean and McDermott. You know, I'm sure they have disagreements, but they certainly portray like they are together in lockstep, and it's not phony, or at least it comes across that way. So, you know, it's just an idea. Hey, this could actually do some good for you. If worst case scenario, you save some money on a player you probably want to bring back.
Yeah, I think with I'm just writing down notes so I remember everything to bring up. So there are a couple reasons why. I think both guys, in terms of your Reinhardt discussion, let me start there. I think the coach and the GM should be thinking about the Reinhardt discussion on another line for two different reasons.
They should totally be thinking about contract years for players, too.
Even if Ralph doesn't think about the contract year. Bottrell should. That's his job. But if Ralph doesn't do it, Ralph's job is to think about what? Line combinations and what's best for the team. Look, with Skinner, what did they do? Now, granted, Kruger wasn't here last season, but Skinner comes in and has great chemistry with Jack Eichel to the point where he cashes in on a big $70 million contract. But the head coach came in and decided, okay, I know they work well together from what happened last season, but I'm going to split them up and see if it helps us and makes us a better team by putting Skinner on a different line to help create a second line of scoring. Why wouldn't you try the same thing with Reinhardt? I mean, you essentially did it with Skinner, right? You didn't come in and say, all right, he had a career high in goals with Eichel. All right, I'm the new coach, but I think it's easy. Let's just leave Skinner with Eichel. No, they decided to move him to another line. So why wouldn't you do the same thing if you're Ralph Kruger and you're trying every possible thing to help this team be better and to win hockey games? That's just saying Reinhardt falls into the category of, let me see what else I can try to make this a better, balanced hockey team. It is Bottrell's job to do that, to think about the contract. And, you know, I wouldn't necessarily look at it as depressing the value. If you think it's like, oh, that's dirty pool, they're trying to keep his value down. Actually, you're trying to find his true value to the team. It isn't depressing it by saying, you know what? If he stays on that line with Eichel, he's going to cost us if you believe he can drive another line off the wing and you're facing a contract decision in the offseason, you would move him to say, truly, this is his value. He is valuable to this team. Look, fellas, he drove the other line from the right wing. Okay, let's pay him what he's worth in the offseason. So I don't know that's depressing. I think you're finding his value.
Well, it might depress his value, or it might not, right? Or you might find his value. And I think about this teams make these decisions all the time. Think about when the Bills had Tyrod Taylor. They benched him for the final game of the season to protect themselves against an injury settlement in case he got hurt.
Right.
Now, what were they thinking about? Now, it's a lost season. We want to make sure next year's cap is XYZ. So we're going to start, EJ or Cardale Jones in that game? I don't even remember.
Doesn't matter.
But the point is,
they were worried about guaranteed for injury money.
So
right?
The point is, you know, as Skinner scored all those goals last year, he went through a slump and finished with 40. If he got 50, what happens? Like, what happens without that slump? He's the same player. Of course you get paid for your production. Of course, analytics and your agent and all this stuff come into play. But, you know, these 10 games, if they don't go 8-2, then, you know, maybe it's time. So, and you know, whatever. It's just the Sabres. Well, I'm not going to say anymore. They're on a bye. I'm on a bye week. I'm back on my bye week.
803-0550 to join us this morning. We get to Mark in Toronto. Mark, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I completely agree with you guys of trying to remove players on their contract years off of Eichel's line because I do think it inflates their numbers. The Reinhardt contract, future contract, really scares me whether he can actually carry his own line or if he is that 65-point player. The question I have, though, is if you take guys like Skinner, Reinhardt, and Olofsson off of Eichel's line, how long before do you think a player like Eichel is like, why are you putting me with these third and fourth line players? He's probably already a little bit frustrated 5 years into his
no doubt about it.
Buffalo. You have to put him with premier players. The problem is you put him with premier players and you're inflating their point totals, which is going to hurt Sabres' cap in the long run. So.
Only in certain years, though. That's the thing. Only in certain years. And he's currently playing with Girgensons.
You could put Skinner there now and it won't matter.
And I
want to
say
that
has he played more minutes at 5-on-5 with Vesey than Skinner? You know, like they're putting him in with
Skinner,
fourth liners.
I feel like Skinner gets the occasional shift, like at the end of the period or so, or an ozone start or something.
And again, this is a very specific point, only two in a contract year.
Right, that's why Skinner's.
You know, if you were to play Olofsson the last 35 games with Johansson, and instead of getting 30 goals, he gets 20 goals, maybe that four-year contract you give him is $1.5 million less, and then you throw him right back with Jack Eichel and have him score the bejesus out of the puck. Mm-hmm. Am I allowed to say bejesus?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
And I think that really plays true, especially once they're out of the playoff race. You absolutely put the best players there or the worst players there because they're already out of it. But in the meantime, you have to be pushing for a playoff spot, right?
I mean, I guess they can try to push for a playoff spot. The odds are very, very minute. I wouldn't give up now because we've talked about 9 games out of 10 at home. Mm-hmm. So here, it's really these 10 games, and then there's no pretending anymore. If you either stay in the race, get in the race, or you get out.
You'll know before the trade deadline whether this team is in the race or not.
And again, I'm not doing it to lose games. In this scenario, you're taking Reinhardt off the Eichel line in an effort to see what the GM has said can happen.
Right.
And the GM says, we believe he can drive his own line. Perfect. Do it.
Yeah. And then you'll determine his value.
Yeah, I'm not doing it to lose. Yeah. I'm doing it to maybe achieve both goals. You know, whatever.
He has, Mark, thanks for the call. He has value to the team, obviously. It's a team, to Mark's point. To your point about, you know, watch who you put on the Eichel line. Well, we say that because of what? There's a dearth of offensive talent on this roster. So it's not like there are a ton of options. If you were to say, don't put Skinner, don't put Olofsson, don't put Reinhardt, what's left to put on VC and, I don't know, Sherry, Oposo. It's not like you've got a ton of other options to say, let's put these guys with Eichel because, you know, he'll raise everybody's game on
and
this
the
roster.
Sabres,
there's a limit of offensive talent.
The Sabres have been this for a couple of years. Really good players dragging around players that shouldn't play. You know, this happens on their blue line all the time.
Yeah.
Put Bogosian with Dahlin. All right, I guess Dahlin's going to drag Bogosian all over the ice. Like, that was... Anyway, all right. You had a Kyle Shanahan thing.
Yeah,
I like this Kyle Shanahan thing.
I saw this on Twitter yesterday, and I thought this is amazing. And it actually made me think, I hope I remember, if Sean McDermott's on with us again next season, somebody remind me to bring this up with Sean McDermott, because I thought this was really awesome. So let me set this up real quick. There's a short little soundbite. This is from... this was from the NFC Championship game, right, against the Green Bay Packers. And so Kyle Shanahan, the Niners are on offense, and they've called a specific pass play. And Kyle Shanahan walks up to whatever, side judge, whoever was over there, and has a quick conversation to point out to them basically what's going to happen on the next play, what this guy's going to be watching at in his role as the official on that next play.
5 yard out route, 85 versus their guy.
Green Bay broke up the shutout.
So basically, he went up to the official and said, I got this guy running an out route. He's going to go inside, and then he's going to break out, and the other guy's not going to let him get out there. So he points it out to the official. They run the play. That's exactly what happens. I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was Kittle. Doesn't matter. It was Kittle? Thank you. He runs inside, turns, goes outside, and the defender from Green Bay is all over him. And the guy on the sideline throws the flag. I mean, he made the right call. It's pass interference, holding, whatever they called on the play. But I thought two things. One, that's brilliant to give the guy the heads up that, hey, just so you know, this is the play, and I'm telling you, there's no way they can stop our guy other than hold him. And two, how often does that happen? Like,
well,
how many coaches would actually walk up to the guy and say, this is the play we're running, just so you know, there's no way they're going to be able to stop this cleanly.
I like that it's not just Kittle's getting held all day. You got to give us a call on Kittle. He's getting held. It's very specific.
Sure.
Right?
You know
he's going to go inside,
this route.
And he's not going to let him out. Watch right here. He's going to hold him. He's not going to let him out. And sure enough, like from the angle, it is clear as day.
Brilliant.
That's what happens. That's an offensive coordinator. And, maybe 25 different coordinators in the league are doing that.
Right.
Or head coaches are doing that. But, yeah, it's a really cool look behind the scenes.
But it's more of a general thing. Like, it might be Sean McDermott walks up to an official whatever, whoever the Bills are playing. The opposing coach walks up to an official during the game and says, look, we've been watching Trey White on film all week. He gets away with a lot of holding. Could you just keep an eye on that guy from the Bills, please? Like, you plant a seed about certain things, right? You can plant the seed on when Gronkowski was playing. You might have walked up to a guy and said, hey, look, Gronkowski's constantly shoving off defenders when he's 10 yards downfield. Would you keep an eye on that today? But this was a specific moment, a specific play, where you know there's a good chance my guy running his route is going to be held. So let's throw the old heads up over there on the official. And that's why I thought I'd love to be able to ask Sean McDermott, not a general heads up, we've noticed this on tape from these guys, but a more specific moment and a play and a route and something you think there's no way they're going to be able to stop this thing clean. How often do coaches walk up to officials and say, keep your eye on this, buddy? And then they get the flag.
The Super Bowl for me is tough. I love Mahomes and would love him and Andy Reid to win. I also really like Kyle Shanahan a lot. His offense is number one in the NFL in motion. 78% of their plays, they use motion because they are trying to identify for Jimmy Garoppolo. Is it man or is it zone?
Yep.
78% of their plays. You know, that's just it's great to watch. They'll pick on Kansas City's linebackers for sure. Kittle and Kelsey are both mismatches. If the Niners win, I'm going to get this up. This is a preemptive strike. If the Niners win, well, there you go. Defense wins championships. The Niners have the 7th ranked offense. The Niners are a great team and have been the whole year. Their defense is awesome.
Yeah.
And their offense is brilliantly designed. They're a lot like, last year's Rams were a great offensive team that had a really good defense too. But the Patriots win it. Patriots had a top 5 offense as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Kansas City and San Francisco, 2 offenses in the top 7, and San Francisco's defense is right near the top 2. So, before you give us a defense wins championships when the Niners win it, they're not there without the 7th ranked offense in the NFL.
See, that's it. They're a complete team.
They are very complete.
They've
got a good kicker. Like, they're just – they've got an offensive mastermind of a coach. If they win it, maybe he starts to get McVay treatment. Like, McVay became a rock star. Shanahan might be – he's probably better than McVay. He's got a longer track record of success. He's had – in Atlanta, they had the best offense in league history that they lost that stupid Super Bowl to the Patriots.
On that note, I wanted to bring this up to you because I think I saw – was reading one of the gazillion things out there about the Super Bowl. And this point, one of the storylines that this person pointed out was – two coaches looking for redemption, or however they phrased it, in the Super Bowl. And they pointed out, I think a lot of people, if you have no rooting interest in this game, you might pick Kansas City because, hey, Andy Reid's been in the league forever. It'd be great for this guy to get a ring. 207 wins, no championship, da-da-da-da-da-da. So the guy talks about the two head coaches, and one of them gets redemption. I actually don't remember, but in the Eagles' loss to the Patriots, they said there were a number of either play calling and or clock management problems that Reed to this day still gets criticized for that game. And I don't remember. I have to look it up. Maybe you remember specifically what happened.
I do remember the final drive. They were very lackluster. They were very lackadaisical.
So it was more of a management thing. Like, clock was running. And the writer pointed out, to this day, Reed still gets criticized for that game, however long ago it was. Versus, here's one reason, if you're rooting for Kansas City, that if San Francisco wins, you'd feel good. Versus Kyle Shanahan, who wasn't the head coach, but was the offensive coordinator in Atlanta when they blew the 28-3 lead, and the offense didn't do a good job, and their play selection, play calling, clock management.
They took bad sacks.
Yeah, they really came under fire, understandably so.
Also, on Kyle Shanahan, he lost the coin toss in overtime.
He did.
Which is a big mistake. You can't lose a coin toss in overtime.
So I was just curious. Like, I think you'd root for Reed, but if San Francisco wins, if you want to feel good for Kyle Shanahan because he'll forever have 28-3, if he never wins a Super Bowl, that's the closest he would have gotten at any point as a coach or a head coach. He would at least have a Super Bowl ring. Maybe that helps wipe out some of the pain from 28-3.
By the way, it's worth pointing out, Tom Brady has 6 rings.
Yeah.
6 Super Bowls.
Uh-huh.
Coin toss aided wins. Atlanta.
Raiders.
The Tuck rule game.
Right.
So
AFC Championship game.
That's 3.
Chiefs, yeah.
That's 3 times they won a Super Bowl where they won the toss and immediately won the game. On the way to or in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, which there were no other. Falcons was the only overtime Super Bowl, right? Or was
it? I believe so.
Eagles was not, right? That was regulation
loss. It was
not.
It was a 3-point win.
Okay.
And the Carolina one did not go to overtime.
Rams didn't get to overtime.
Rams didn't get to overtime.
Kick. Yeah.
3 out of their 6, they win the toss and win it.
Huh. That's how good he is. That's why you don't screw with TB12.
That's how dumb the toss is.
I was going to point out, since you brought up the 6 rings, I'm watching the Senior Bowl recap show on NFL Network from Tuesday show. And there's Belichick on the sidelines. You know, they do shots of, hey, look what coach or GM is here today. There's Belichick wearing a visor that says VII rings.
8 rings.
7. It was an old visor.
Oh.
That was part of it.
Conflicting stories.
I think it's because it's an old cap. I'm assuming because his boat has always been named something rings, right? Every time he won a Super Bowl, he had to repaint the sign
That's
on the boat.
That's very famous Patriots humility.
That's my point. Yeah. Like forever, the Patriot way and all this other stuff. This guy shows up at the Senior Bowl, not wearing a Patriots cap. It's a golf visor and all it. There's no logo that I could tell. VII rings on the front of the visor. And I thought, that's wonderful. I actually laughed. I thought it was pretty funny that he was doing like walking around going, yeah, I got 7 rings. But he actually does have 8. So for those of you that think the Patriots are humble, he wore a visor to the Senior Bowl and said VII rings. Dude, by the way, get a new cap. You know? How do you miss on that one? You update your boat all the time. Get a new visor. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. We'll get you a win cash code word here. See if we can get you $1,000. All you need to do is text the code word in, and that's it. The code word is audio, A-U-D-I-O. There you go, audio. Text it to 72881. Message and data rates may apply. You have until 10 o'clock to text that word in. If you do, you're automatically in the running to win $1,000. Audio, 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Shope and the Bulldog have more code words coming up this afternoon. It's the National Win Cash Contest. When we get back, hey, the Bisons this week released their list of promotions. They got to introduce their new manager and got some cool promotions. Some stuff that's always been popular in the past is back, but some new stuff too. We're going to chat with their GM when we get back in a moment. Mike Bujkowski is going to join us. That is on the way on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The 1-0 pitch is hit back up the middle. Zoik will field. He'll underhand to first, and TJ Zoik has picked up the no-hitter. For the first time in 22 years, the Bisons have a no-hitter as TJ Zoik is mobbed by first base.
Yeah, baseball, right. I mean, it makes you feel better just thinking about it. And we're going to chat in a moment with Mike Bujkowski, the Bisons general manager, because they released some of the promotions for the upcoming season this week and introduced their new manager, Ken Huckabee, recently. There's going to be some stuff that's, you know, that you're used to, which is back, which is good. The Independence Eve celebration, Star Wars night. They got a number of theme nights going on, 90s night, 80s night, disco night. I got to find my leisure suit and my thick heels and my bell-bottom jeans. So we'll talk a little bit more about that and see if there's any rules experiments going on. Jeremy mentioned earlier that they're going to do what? They're going to use the computers in spring training?
Oh, sorry.
The home plate umpire balls and strike computer thing? Uh-huh. So we'll see what they're doing at AAA this year. And I was going to – it's funny. I know he would know the number, but I just did the math. I believe it's 85 days until opening day, opening night at the ballpark, and Mike is joining us on the Western Hotline. Mike, it's Howard and Jeremy. Did I get the math right? Is it 85 days? Do you have like a chart up in your office?
You got it exactly right, and you are also right about the chart. When you walk into the door of our office, the number changes every day.
Opening night this year, huh? Have you guys ever done that before?
We have, but not since, I think it was like the early 90s, we had a Friday night opener. It was late in April as well. This is the latest we've ever had a home opener. The very first home opener here was on April 14th, and that was the latest. So the 17th is a couple extra days, and hopefully that'll work in our favor for the weather.
So you guys released some of the promotions for the upcoming season this week. What are some of the staples? Let's start there first that have always been popular with the fans over the years.
Yeah, well, you know, we always, I think, still our marquee event is the July 3rd event with the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra, and that'll be back again, but I think the Friday Night Bash has been a 33-year staple here. We'll continue in that. There's actually 11 Friday home games this year, but one of them is July 3rd, so that'll be the special event. So we'll have 10 other Friday Night Bashes, and we always maintain our Sunday, what we call them our Sunday Kids Days, the afternoon games where kids get to do various take part in promotions throughout the game. They get to run the bases after the game. There's always fun giveaways and things to do for the kids. So those are kind of our, you know, the ones that have been around the longest for us.
It's always a kid-friendly list when you look at the promotions. And, you know, you got Star Wars Night, Superhero Night is back, Princess Day. So obviously there are some big days on the schedule for parents to bring the kids out to the ballpark.
There are, and we'll be adding a few more. And along those lines, over the last probably 3 years, we have increased our dog days at the ballpark. We're going to do six next year. So, you know, there's as many people, I think, bringing their dogs to the ballpark now as bringing their kids. There's sometimes where there's, you know, 400 or 500 dogs that are in the area where you could bring them. And we keep adding more dates based on the demand. So those are fun days as well.
And you can never go wrong with a bobblehead, right? So Bo Bichette is the choice this year?
Bo Bichette, will be the bobblehead. The Blue Jays released their promotional schedule the other day, and they're also going to do a Bo Bichette bobblehead. So the collectors, I think, will have see how many people will be able to collect one in Buffalo and one in Toronto. But yeah, we want to celebrate, even though Bo wasn't here that long, but you know, looks to be one of the, along with Vlad Guerrero, one of the rising stars that the Blue Jays have.
Want to talk to you a little bit about your new manager in a second, but can you do me a favor and set aside a travel pillow in case I don't make it to the game that night? It's my birthday.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I could use one of those. I'm just
all right,
looking
yeah.
for – that's actually the real reason why, Mike, I wanted to get you on the show. I was trying to see if I could get a free travel pillow from your giveaway. So you introduced your new manager the other day. What do we need to know about Ken Huckabee?
We did. Ken Huckabee was a he has a claim to fame that's a little bit, you know, kind of, I don't know if you know the story, but Ken Huckabee was a kind of a journeyman catcher. He caught opening day for the Blue Jays, I believe it was 2003 at then the Sky Dome. They were playing the Yankees. It was a strange kind of rundown play, and Derek Jeter, the new Hall of Famer, was sliding into third, and Huck was running to try to get there, dove to tag him, rolled on him. Jeter was out, missed 6 weeks because of a, you know, big shoulder injury. And that story's been recounted the last couple of days with the news of Derek Jeter going in. But you know, Howard, I'm partial to. I always love when we have a catcher, former catcher, that's a manager. They just have a different understanding of the game based on what they had to do all those years behind the plate. And I like him. He spent just as much time, I think, talking about the players and what they're going to do on the field as he did about the culture he wants to create in and around the team, you know, around the clubhouse, different things that he wants to do to, you know, to bring that winning culture back here. We have not been in the playoffs for a long, long time. The Blue Jays AAA team has not been in the playoffs for a long, long time. And he really believes that winning is the last missing ingredient. They're doing a great job in developing players and the skills, and they got the Bichettes and the Guerreros. But now he really wants to put an emphasis on teaching how to win, how to compete, which obviously when you get to the next level, that's what it's all about.
Mike, before I get to the rules question, do you have an idea about the roster yet? And if so, are there any you know, guys that are considered top prospects in the chain in the organization that are going to be here, if not at the start or at some point this season?
Well, you know, the big name is Nate Pearson, big right-handed pitcher. He pitched a little bit for us at the end of the year. Tremendous fastball. I think Baseball America just voted that he has the best fastball in the minor leagues. There's a chance, though, that Nate could make the Blue Jays. You know, we'll have to see what happens. But if he doesn't, he would probably be the marquee, you know, prospect name that will be here. T.J. Zoik, the kid who pitched the no-hitter last year, should be back with us, although he'll have a shot as well. But you know, their next wave of prospects in the J system are going to be pitchers. We've already talked about the guys the last couple of years that are all really position players. Yeah. And now they say in the next, this year and the year after should be pretty strong for good young arms coming through and spending time in Buffalo.
Are they experimenting with any new rules in AAA this season?
Well, we are not going to do the electronic strike zone. There's talk that some of the low-level minor leagues might do that, and you guys saw they're gonna, I guess, do it in spring training. Hmm. You know, one of the rules, and I'm not sure I'm for this. I guess I'm not for it. But one of the rules I heard about, Howard, that they may do is they're going to require a pitcher to step off the rubber before he throws to any base. Hmm. Which to me eliminates the left-handed pitcher being able to, you know, pick a guy off.
Yeah.
Now you got to step off and
then throw
the Rigetti and throw over, and that rarely works. You know, you rarely see a guy get picked off that way. But that's one of the rules that they're strongly considering. They've told us to prepare for. We'll hear probably in the next couple of weeks whether that's going to be for sure or not.
What do you think? You know, look, when it comes to experimenting. At spring training, man, they can try anything under the sun, so that's fine. But the idea of the balls and strikes and using the computer, I saw the same thing too, Mike. Like it might start in A ball and maybe next season possibly try it and see if it works in AAA. What are your thoughts on that idea?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm you see where technology has gotten baseball. It's gotten a lot of trouble because of the technology. And, you know, we need to get ahead of technology. And it doesn't seem like baseball overall is. We're reacting to what's happening. And I just think there's so many unintended consequences. And when they do that electronic strike zone, they did it in a few independent leagues this past year, non-affiliated leagues. And I just think there's things you're not going to, you know, you're not going to consider until it happens. And, I like the human element of the game, although I don't want to see somebody lose a World Series because of a bad call. And I think we have replay available, but you know, some of this is taking away my baseball, your baseball. No, there's no more arguments. The manager doesn't come out and argue because how are you going to argue? You look at everything on a replay, and now a computer is going to tell you that it was definitely a strike. So I'm a little bit torn on it. I think there are times where baseball needs to do it, but we just have to be careful.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, Mike. I mean, I think I'm all for certain ways to help in terms of technology, replay, whatever the case may be. But I think you can go too far with it. I think ultimately, you don't want to do too much to hurt your game. Honestly, I'd be more about pace of play. That would bother me so much more. Like a manager making 17 pitching changes in one half inning as opposed to the balls and strikes. Wait, this one was out of the K zone or whatever box they're using on television. That wouldn't bother me as much as pace of play and some of the other things I think are wrong with the sport.
So. Yeah, and there's no doubt. And baseball games are taking too long in a lot of cases. And for the diehard fan, it doesn't matter. You know, they're going to watch whether it's 4 hours or 2.5. But you know, we're trying to develop new fans and young fans, and it's a different. You know, younger people just don't want to be at events that are that long. So we do need to make some adjustments, and hopefully, we'll continue to do that.
All right, tickets available, right? Bisons.com. If anybody wants to check it out.
Yep, they are. They're on sale. You can now purchase, you know, most of our ticket packages and groups. Our individual ticket sales will go on sale sometime in March, probably the third week of March. But the best way to get discounts now are to take advantage of the different ticket packages that we offer.
Very good. Mike, thanks. Always nice to have you on the show. Thanks for coming on with us this morning.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
That is Mike Butchkowski, general manager of the Buffalo Bisons, joining us here again, the promotional schedule. I should ask him for a couple of freebies for disco night. It's available at bisons.com. Extendo Sports coming up in just a moment. Instigators coming your way at the top of the hour. We announced a new another roaster this week. Another person going to be roasting Eric Wood in our celebrity roast Thursday, February 27th at Buffalo River Works. EJ Manuel is going to be on the list with Richie Incognito, with Brian Brom. If you haven't gotten your tickets and you want to be there for what should be a very entertaining night, just go to WGR550.com. You can get general admission tickets, or you can get the Pella VIP tickets. Will include hanging out before the event begins with all the celebrities, getting a chance to see the former Bills and all the GR staff and everybody there. Again, all available at WGR550.com. The roast of Eric Wood is presented by Liberty Cab, Seneca Poker inside the Seneca Niagara Casino, and by Pella Windows and Doors, with support from Bud Light, Country Suite, it's all about the sauce, Dr. Beyer Optical Group, for a look that's on fire, call Dr. Beyer, and by Rachel's Mediterranean Grill.
Watch the games tonight and talk about it tomorrow with Howard and Jeremy, 6 to 10 on WGR, Sports Radio 550.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
At the risk of being nothing but a stat of the day show, we got another one.
Lay it on me. It's all about knowledge. It's about passing along knowledge and informing people.
Sometimes it's not necessarily a stat, it's context. Sometimes it's just a surprising little information thing. Here's one from John that prior to Patrick Mahomes being with the Chiefs, they had gone a span of 30 years without having a win with a quarterback that they drafted.
That's a pretty long stretch.
Yes,
you know what?
They had, of course, Alex Smith.
Yeah.
So they had a 49ers drafted quarterback, Joe Montana, and Alex Smith win them 149 games. And Chiefs drafted quarterbacks won 0 over 30 years.
Two things. One, I think that should go in the running for stat of the year. 30 years without a quarterback drafted getting a win?
Nope.
A single win? What do you mean no?
I mean no.
30 years?
Nope.
You're crazy, Brayton. 30 years? No quarterback? And then I guess the follow-up, which might drive this point home or not, how many drafted quarterbacks did they have in those 30
years? That's what I was just about to
pull up. If they only had two, it diminishes the stat, but I'd be curious how many they took.
All right, let me find it.
And what rounds? Like, well, they took seven, but they were all in round seven. Well, whatever, who cares? I guess I need to know the significance of numbers of guys they had and how good were they.
I've got their drafted quarterbacks. No, no.
They draft like Tyler, was it Thigpen or whatever?
Let's see. We're going back to 1989.
30 years, right?
89, yeah. Okay. So starting in 89, James Killian.
Never heard
seventh
of him.
Round.
Okay. Right? Doesn't count.
This is not in order. He was 2005.
Yeah, okay.
Aaron Murray.
Yeah.
Fifth round.
Really mounted
Kevin
anything.
Hogan. Fifth round.
Yeah. Okay.
Ricky Stanzi.
Yeah.
Fifth round.
Iowa.
Steve Stenstrom. Fourth round.
Ooh.
Brody Croyle. Third round.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Todd Blackledge.
Okay.
Seventh overall.
First round, yeah. He was in the class of 83, right?
Yep. Case. No, that's too far back. Dustin Colquitt was a punter. Never mind.
Yeah.
We're already done. That's,
it. Not an okay, forget my stat of the year. Blackledge is the biggest name on that list.
Yeah.
The rest of those guys, did they ever play anywhere? The rest of those guys are just all nondescript human beings as far as football players go. I'm sure they're nice guys.
How many starts among all of those players?
Right. Blackledge carries the list. Because I don't know, any of those guys get starts? Stenstrom, Stenzi, Croyle?
Croyle definitely
played. Croyle got starts?
I want to say Croyle definitely played.
Okay, I do not remember him playing. All right. It's not stat of the year. That's a really miserable list.
I'm going back to the quarterbacks here. Hold on to see who did and didn't play. I had to scroll back up. All right, so...
I don't even know who the first guy was. James Killian?
Yeah, I mean, it's
never even heard of him.
And that was just since 1989.
Yeah.
Okay. So who played in games?
Forget it, right? It's not a big list.
No, it's not. I'm looking for where are the games?
Blackledge never won games.
Blackledge.
No, he would have been prior. He was prior to 89. Right?
He's 83.
Yeah, right. So.
Yeah, so even that's like 36 years ago. So that doesn't even count. Yeah, like. That's a punter. Sorry. Nope. I almost went to Dustin Colquitt again. Brody Croyle played in two games.
Yeah.
And
Steve Stenstrom.
Oh, I forgot about Matt Blundeen.
Yeah, I remember the name. Yeah.
Second round pick of 1992.
Still didn't really amount to anything.
It's something else I was going to mention before we finished, and I forget what it was, and we don't have time, so it doesn't matter.
Put it in your phone for tomorrow. Okay.
What was it? It's not going to matter.
Okay. All right, we're out of time. And we're sticklers for time.
Eli Manning went 10-23 all time against the Eagles. Mike Clay tweeted a really funny line. The Eagles will miss him the most.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.